teach your mind, Father. Teach your mind and dig deeper in the well, Father, to bring those with me to find you, to receive that outpouring, Lord, that you've called us to have within ourselves. So, Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Now, come on up, Renee. Y'all, do y'all's thing. Hallelujah. Just flow with it, guys. Just flow with it. Hallelujah. Worship you. Worship you, Jesus.
You, Father. We magnify you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We give the praise, glory, and honor, Father. We ask you just come, Lord. Just touch us, Father. Touch us with your love, Lord. Your peace. We worship you. We magnify you, Father. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy.
Worthy of
Jesus.
The more I find you,
Jesus.
The more I find you, the more I love you.
Worship you, Father.
The more I seek you.
Thank you.
to. Sound doctrine, Lord. We do not apologize, Father, for preaching truth. I do not apologize. Thank you, Lord, that you are a perfect example, a prototype. Perfect in every aspect of your life. Merciful, compassionate, forgiving. And us that you walk in. All these things you are, Lord. I thank you as my perfect example. I have no excuse, Jesus. So I give you praise, glory, and honor. Jesus. I know that the Lord would have me say these words before I go on tonight with you. That I'm learning just like a lot of people. But what I've been looking for the last 3 or 4 years has sat right in front of me every Sunday night. You see, I can't make anybody be disciples of Jesus Christ. I tried. I can't make anybody. I tried for the last 3 or 4 years. I can't make somebody serve Jesus. What I have been looking for has been right here the whole time. I tried in the flesh to make disciples of people. It's a choice. You have to have ears to hear, a heart willing. So I apologize to some of you that I've neglected. I promise you that's going to change. We've had the biggest youth group in this town for years. And now we have people that are hungry. Hungry. They have ears to hear. And we will, I promise you this. We will get to know each other better, not just in the natural, but in spirit, in the Word of God. Promise you that. Elders is doing a real good job right now with a lot of you. And continue to come to the prayer group. Continue. Don't be too busy to pray, man. Don't be an average Christian. Well, you don't know this. Don't be too busy to pray. Don't be too busy to pray. Because by being too busy to pray, you're saying I'm too busy to spend time with Jesus. And if you spend time with Jesus, the OU will come back real quick. Fight for that time. Fight for that time. I promise you that in due time, we'll start getting together. Those that have ears to hear. It's on us. It's on us. As far as making a difference in society, it's on us. It's not on society. Society has to see something different in me and you, more than just words. They've been hearing words from preachers for a long time. Dull, vain, unanointed words. And I've been reading the Gospels about our prototype, Jesus, our perfect example, and it's changing me, seeing my error in my life. You know, Jesus walked the earth for 33 years. Listen, I won't keep you long, I promise. And I really believe those that are here tonight are those that I told you about 4 or 5 months ago, that youth group was going to downsize. See, if I want a big youth group, I can feed you before church. I can play a little bit of secular music to get you. I can introduce to you God. And I'll give you a little bit of secular music to get you in the door. We'll get big. We've never done that. See, what we preach is not too popular because everything boils down to me and you. So if I wanted a big youth group again, I could just do what everybody else does. I got a gift to yell and scream and preach and get you excited. I can yell with the best of them, you know. But I want you to fall in love with Jesus. And I've been reading the Gospels, and they just touch me. And Jesus, for 33 years, walked the earth. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask, and you're going to answer. When Jesus walked the earth, if you think you know the answer, give it a shot. When Jesus walked the earth for 33 years, he worked many miracles, right or wrong. In fact, Mark says, these are the words of Jesus. Listen carefully to me. I believe those that are here, you have ears to hear. And we can take it one step further instead of preaching salvation every week. Jesus said in Mark 1 and 15, 14, you're okay now. That's fine. We're all right now for a while. Yeah, because I'm not really exhorting now. Jesus said this. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. Mark 1 and 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Listen carefully. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We'll go back to that. Jesus walked the earth for 33 years. And he worked miracle after miracle. He extended arms. He extended legs. He gave sight to the blind. Those that couldn't hear, the ability to hear. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Rose her from the dead. Simon Peter's mother-in-law, fever, left her. He fed 5,000. Not counting women and children, he fed 4,000. Not counting women and children, he turned water into wine. That's my perfect prototype. Those are the things that Jesus did in his humanity as a man. But when he, listen to me carefully now. Now, when he, me and Pastor were talking about this the day before church. When he healed, do you think Jesus had some homosexuals delivered in his days? You think he cast the devil out of some homosexuals? Absolutely. Do you think he might have had, you think he might have laid hands on a prostitute and cast those demons out of her? You think he did that once or twice? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. I know most of you do. We spend consistent time with Jesus Christ, praying in the Spirit, whether worshiping or laying in his bosom. I don't like really use the word. I mean, in Julio had good terminology, the Fab Five, but I just call it spending time with Jesus, you know, really. Just spending time with Jesus, whether it's fasting or worshiping or whatever we're taught here. I just rejoice in the fact that I can lean on his bosom and be changed by what we're taught. But really, most of us here have prayer lives, have done extended fasts and pray for hours sometimes a day. But do you think that the homosexual in the days of Jesus, the prostitute in the days of Jesus, do you think they had faith to be healed? Answer it however you want. Feel free. The Bible says, according to your what? So be it done unto you. So do you think they had faith to be healed? And now be careful, because I might be tricking you. Do you really think I'm gonna use a gay as an example. I've heard her confess on Friday night. She speaks the word with authority. And you can feel the anointing. Those aren't just vain words. You feel the presence of God come from her well. Not from her voice. Voice has nothing to do with it. From her well. You can feel it. You mean to tell me, now, I'm not trying to trick, but I'm going to teach you something. You told me, as I thought before today, I got this in the truck, and me and Pastor were marveling at it. You mean to tell me, you said, I tricked you into saying, I said to, do you think homosexual had faith to be healed? Do you think a prostitute had faith to be healed? And you said yes. You mean to tell me that a homo, and I'm not pounding homosexuality. That's just, I'm just taking it to the extreme. Let me tell you one thing. Every homosexual, every adulterer is a child of God, and they deserve to be loved. We don't despise them. We despise the sin. Amen? So you mean to tell me that homosexual, and we're going to use another person in a little bit. Pay attention. I'm going to teach you something real good. We can go there now because you guys have ears to hear. You're going to tell me that a homosexual or a prostitute that got healed instantly, you said they had faith. I say that had faith before the Lord opened up to me what he opened up to me a little while ago. So you mean to tell me that that homosexual, that prostitute has more faith than Ms. Gay? A person that has been bound in sin their whole life. You gonna tell me they have more faith than Pastor Bronk or Ms. Barbara? Answer the question. Let's intermingle. But you said they had faith. In the days of Jesus, I'm getting there. In the days of Jesus, all they had to do was hear. The only faith they had, when he said, come, they'd come and they'd be healed. It wasn't that they had that faith that we're trying to attain. It's all they did really was obey his command. Do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord, I believe you can do this. Receive your sight. They receive their sight. That's why this is on me and you. What we're after, and I'm going to get to the point a little bit, what we're after has nothing to do with society, but everything to do with me and you. Do you know why the dead were raised? Let me ask you this. You said they had faith to be healed. Jairus had a daughter that was what? Dead at the age of 12. Okay. You said, I did too before today, that they had faith to be healed. Okay, now, I'm not smart. I know how to use a computer because my dear brother here has taught me how to use a computer. I couldn't even scan till me and Alex started working together. I was a complete idiot in computers. And I'm still an idiot because every 5 minutes, Alex hears at work, Alex, come here. And he gets entering at works. But you said, I said that they had faith to be healed. But Jairus had a daughter that was dead. Okay. Newsflash, how much faith can a what have? How much faith, Alex, can a dead person have? How much? They're dead. Well, then, if it took them to have faith to receive the miracle from Jesus, she was dead. Then how did faith get her healed? In the days of Jesus, they were all healed because of what he walked in. The Bible says miracle after miracle that he had compassion on them. It goes to prove tonight, my friends, that what we're contending for is completely on me and you. Jairus' daughter, she had no faith. She was dead. But Jesus, being full of love and compassion, was moved. Everybody that had a need back then that got up out of their chair and walked to Jesus received their need met because of his compassion. They were unaccountable. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He displayed in those dark ages, what the kingdom of God was. Jairus, your daughter is dead. Do not be afraid. Talitha, come my little girl, I say to you, get up. He displayed what the church lacks today, which is the power of God. Now, to Christians that are accountable, a little bit of difference in rules there. I don't know if that's the right word to use. But with a spiritually dead society, when those that don't know Jesus, you know what? If we got the goods, if we're walking where we need to walk with Jesus Christ, it should be nothing, absolutely nothing for me and you to demonstrate the power of God in their life. We should live for the opportunity. Am I there yet? No, I'm not there. I should live for the opportunity to go to an unbeliever and see them in a wheelchair at Winn-Dixie. I should long for myself to be so saturated in Jesus that I just go to her and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the power of the kingdom of God. I'm not there yet. See, we need to stop blaming other people for not receiving what God says that we have. It's on me and you to have enough compassion in our hearts to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. But we want to blame somebody else. Jairus' daughter was dead, man. Dead, Harry. How much faith did she have to receive being raised from the dead? Had nothing to do with her, but all to do with him. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All that's in heaven is right here inside of me, Jesus said, and I'm able to perform the works of the kingdom of my Father. That's why everyone that he laid hands on received and were healed, because he was so full of love. He was love. He had compassion. That word is translated pity. Oh, my God, it just broke his heart. You know, Jesus wept one time when somebody died. When Lazarus died, the Bible says that he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible says he wept, what? Bitterly. I believe with all my heart in his humanity, Jesus went into intercession for Lazarus. The groanings, the deep groanings of intercession. Jesus was all man. If Jesus was here, there's a sinner outside. They had no legs. Jesus would walk to them in his humanity and say, legs grow. And you know what? Those legs would grow. That is the kingdom of heaven, my friends. And he's called me and you to so fall in love with him, to so be filled with compassion and with love for people so that he's able to work through me and you. We should long. In this society, we're so busy with everything but our appointments with him. I've been guilty of it too. We're so caught up in trends. We're so caught up in things that society has told us we have to walk in. We're so caught up in doing what everybody does, whether it's college, whether it's whatever it is, we're so caught up in it without even asking Jesus. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with college. There's nothing. That's not my point here. But we're so caught up in things of the world that we forget to lean on the bosom of Jesus Christ. We get so caught up in money. We get so caught up in cars and houses and women and men that we forget that we're called to fall in love with Jesus Christ first. That young girl was dead, man. Dead, deader than a doorknob. But Jesus went to her, told her dad. What did he tell her dad? Just don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe that I can do it, is what Jesus was saying. Don't be afraid, Jairus. I know she can't breathe. I know she's dead. Hey, Jairus, rejoice. Because the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand. I'm about to demonstrate to you, Jairus, the power of my Father. Talitha Kumai, little girl, I say to you, rise up. And she rose up because of his compassion that he had for people. When John the Baptist died, his cousin, his blood cousin, died. Luke records that Jesus went onto a mountain, prayed, came down, had compassion on the multitude, and he healed their sick. If we can't have compassion with one another, then the kingdom of God is null and void to me and you. And I'm speaking to myself because I've been getting a lot of compliments about last Sunday's preaching. You know what I tell people? Because sometimes I don't know how to take a compliment. I say, you know what? If I could just walk in what I teach, I'd be a lot better person. I'm reading the Gospels to teach and to saturate myself how the perfect example in this life walked and lived, and his name is Jesus Christ. There isn't a situation in the world that we shouldn't go through that me and you can't make it through because Jesus was perfect in every aspect of his game. He is our perfect, perfect prototype. And he was so full of compassion and love that he wasn't manageable by Satan couldn't manage Jesus. Satan couldn't maneuver Jesus because he was so saturated in the Father. We ought to go anywhere and see unbelievers and even believers. But I don't know where I'm at as far as what I'm teaching you now, as far as Holy Ghost filled, born again believer, Holy Ghost filled believer. I don't know. I don't know right now if the same rule applies to that. I don't know. Maybe you don't. I don't right now. But we should go, be able to walk in anywhere through the projects, through the village, through the park, and see people that are not born again. And you see him, Renee? You see him? He has no legs. Ashton, you see him, Ashton? They have no arms. Let me go, Pastor. Let me go. Go, Ashton. Sir. Yes, young lady. I have something for you. What could you possibly have for me, young lady? I'm in a wheelchair with no legs and no arms. What could you possibly have for me? What I have for you, sir, you can rejoice in what I'm going to give you in about 2 minutes. What can you give me, young lady? Every Christian and their mothers prayed for me, and look at me. I'm bound up in a wheelchair. Yes, you are right. And for that, I ask that you forgive the body of Christ for what I have. I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sir, receive your feet. Receive your legs. Receive your arms. I'm telling you, my friend, there's a place in him that we haven't found where those things can come to pass. Why? Because it's written. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's at hand right here, right now. I'm going to display to you. I'm going to display to you the power of my Father. That's for me and you. This is for us. To demonstrate the power of God in society. Words don't cut it. You want proof? The chairs are empty. There's no sinners here. The sinners have heard words from Christians for billions or thousands of hours and days. They've heard our mumbo jumbo, wrong or right. There's a place in him that me and you are going to find where we can demonstrate the power of our God. And I believe we can take our teachings and our fellowship one step further than we ever have, because I believe those that are here tonight that have been here before me for years, but I've been so blind and dumb that I believe that what we have here, we're going to get together and work exploits for our Father as we grow in him. And Jesus said, and I'm almost done. Listen to what Jesus said. Mark 1, 14 and 15, and after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the what? Gospel. I want you to intermingle with me now. Listen to what Jesus said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And believe in the what? Did he say repent and believe in the law? He said repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I'm going to say something to you. And I talked to Alex about it the other day. When a Christian consistently, when their doctrine or what their teaching is, it ain't about sex. And that's what they teach all the time. Mm-hmm, yeah. Something's a little wrong with him. Because Jesus, from what I've read through my Bible in the four Gospels, we know premarital sex is not right. We know that. But Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He didn't preach sex and fornication all the time, man. Words in red, he said, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the what? Gospel interpreted, good news. John chapter 8. The Bible says in 8 and 1 that he went into the temple again. The same temple that he went into in chapter 7. And the hypocrites brought, I'm paraphrasing, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. They brought to Jesus, my perfect example, a woman caught in adultery. They caught her in the very act, cast her in the midst of him. They made a spectacle of her. They put her in the midst of him. Jesus rolled on the ground as though he heard them not, according to John 8. And he stood up, stooped down again, and he rolled on the ground again. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe ye in the what? Gospel. Now, she was judged to an extent according to the Pharisees judged her according to what? Law. Jesus saw her through the eyes of the gospel. You want proof? Because under law, she would have been what? Stoned and judged. But under grace and the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, what did he tell the woman that was caught in adultery? The one that the church wants to stone and kill because of her infidelity. What did Jesus tell her? According to the gospel, according to love, according to mercy, according to compassion. What did he tell her? Woman, go and sin no more. Love has come, my friends. Are you justifying adultery? No, you know I'm not. You know I'm not. But we have to live and teach and preach according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Telling somebody you're a bad person, you need to go to church, that's not evangelizing, man. We have to learn from our perfect example, and his name is Jesus Christ. Everything that we need to know in our walk with God is found in the Gospels and in the New Testament. Love has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. All that he did, me and you can do. If we just want to walk in him enough. Friends, this is not your ordinary youth group. I don't want it to be an ordinary youth group. If it is, we'll be like every other church in this town. But Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. The good news. It's on us. Society, whether you believe me or not, their eyes are on me and you. They want us. Their eyes are glued on me, and I'm almost done. Their eyes are glued on us to see how we, the salt of the earth, how we, the light that's set on the hill, how we conduct ourselves at work. Our husbands, our wives that aren't born again, oh, don't think they're not looking. They want to see how we conduct ourselves. We are the light of this world. Everything is on me and you. Everything is on me and you. Jesus had compassion on every person that he healed. And until we learn to love each other like Jesus loves even his own enemies, until we learn to walk in that compassion and that pity and that mercy and that forgiveness, we'll always be ordinary, powerless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a place in him where we can get lost in Christ, in his word, through worship, through tongues, through fasting, through confession, where we can be all that we can be in him. It's on me and you, my friends. It's on nobody else. It's on me and you. Falling in love with Jesus Christ is on me and you. Don't settle for being a typical, inconsistent, roller coaster Christian. We don't have to settle for that. We've been taught that, well, I'm not perfect. Well, then, where's my wife at? Hey, honey, I'm not perfect. I'm going to a strip club tonight. Don't judge me because I'm not perfect. You think that excuse would hold up in spiritual court? It's a typical comment. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I wish I could move my head like a black girl does. Don't judge me. You know what? I can't do it. I ain't got no neck, so I can't do it. Don't be judging me. They can keep their shoulders still and go all the way around the world like 360. Right or wrong? Oh, did I do it? No. Or I had a flesh day. I had a bad flesh day. Do you think my wife would understand if I told her, honey, I love Jesus with all my heart? But that woman looked good, baby, and she gave herself to me. You got to show some type of respect. A man has needs, baby. I'm not perfect. I'm not, but that's your typical Christian excuse. And we swallowed it. We have swallowed that excuse. You name me a day, or you show me a scripture from Matthew to John where Jesus had a bad day. You might say, well, he was God, yes, but he didn't have a bad day as a man. You show me after the book of Acts where the apostles or the disciples walked in adultery or fornication. You can't, because it's not there. I had a bad day. We can walk so pure before God if we want to. Basically, it's do you have ears to hear? See, it's not that I'm smarter than you. God knows. Alex knows I'm not smart at all. I got a brain to do business. I got a brain to make money for the people that I work for. I can administrate a business. I couldn't, but I prayed in tongues so much that I can walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and make money for the people that I work for. It's not that I have the gift. The Holy Ghost gave me that wisdom. But I'm not very smart. And I have the capability to remember a ton of scripture and quote James and 1 John to you. I have that. Not because I'm something, but because of the Holy Spirit and through praying in tongues. That's the only reason I have it. But I'm not smart. But Jesus says, you know, he don't want smart people. He wants us to have ears to hear. A person that's inconsistent in it, and I'm done in 2 minutes. I swear I ain't lying, Deidre and Jocelyn. I'm done. Quit. I'm almost done. A person that's in and out of church, inconsistent in God, they don't have what to hear. They don't have ears to hear. When you see a Christian that's stable, walking into God, spending time in his word, spending time worshiping, spending time with Jesus, that woman or man has ears to hear. Meaning that their heart is receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word didn't fall on the wayside. The word didn't fall in stony ground. But that believer heard it, and Satan couldn't come and take that word from them because they had ears to hear. I believe those of you that are here tonight have ears to hear. And all I need is 10 or 15, 20 of you to come together as a family. They told Jesus, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside desiring to talk with you. Jesus looked at him and said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of my Father. In other words, my family, you are my family. And more than ever, my friends, more than ever, I have a desire to spend time with you that are here. The days are coming when we will be persecuted for our faith. Our current, never mind. I'll go off on politics. Let me be quiet. But if we bind together as a family, I've learned that all them years that I've been isolated from people, I've listened to a devil. Well, I'm called to preach. I'm called to pray. No, no, no. You're called to spend time with your family. Anything else is uncivilized. We're called to bind together as a family, to break bread, to fellowship in God's word. And I promise you, we're going to develop a plan to spend time together as a family with kids, young people, college kids that have ears to hear. If my kids, my own personal kids, don't want my own biological kids, I'm not going to make them partake of it. If they want to fellowship in the anointing's coming off me, I'm stuttering now. But even my own, in other words, this is going to be for those that have ears to hear. I'm telling you. We don't have to fail. We can do things according to the wisdom of God. I got two heroes in here. I'm not going to say their name. I got two heroes in here that I love the way they're doing things. They could write a book on the way they're doing things to show people that there is a way through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit on how to do things properly in Christ. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect. But if you're praying in the Spirit and you're spending time with Jesus, you will do things accordingly, and you don't have to fail. He is our perfect example. It's all on me and you. It's all on me, man. I can walk in as much power as I want to, as long as I walk into him. It's on us. It's not on anybody else. It's on us. Do you have ears to hear? You might be saying, Pastor, you got some big old ears. I bet you got ears to hear. Gay's laughing at me. You heard your mom? Amen. It's time, man. It's time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let's start seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. The days of slip-ups, the days of doing things the way the world does them. I was going to say it's now, but no, it's been before. The day we got born again, we had power to say no to these things. It's time to start incorporating truth. It's time to follow our perfect example, our perfect prototype, and his name is Jesus Christ. I can't make anybody. I tried for 3 years. I cannot make anybody serve Jesus. I can't. I've stopped completely because I can't make anybody serve Jesus, but I can invite you to come eat at my spiritual table. We can invite each other to spend time with each other. I got 6 kids. I can't make Priscilla. I can't make Julie. I can't make Quentin. I can't make Elijah. I can't make Nathaniel. I can't make David. I can't make none of them serve Jesus. It's up to them whether they have ears to hear. My friends, and basically when I say if you have ears to hear, basically you're saying, or we're saying, that our heart is receptive to the gospel. An inconsistent Christian, they don't have ears to hear because their heart is not receptive to the word of God. That's why they fail, because they really don't want change. Because if you really want change, you'll change. Don't tell me you're dying of thirst laying 10 feet from me, dying of thirst on your last breath because you're thirsty and I got some of the sandy water right here and I offer it to you and you don't drink it. Don't blame people for that, dummy. Okay, you don't want it? You're about to die? You see the point? I'm being sarcastic. But you see the point that I'm making? If you want Jesus, he's there. Go get him. If we walk in what Smith Wigglesworth walked in, you can walk through a train station. People can feel the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit without blabbing. And just to clarify a matter, and I'm done in 1 minute, I promise. There's one young person that I do respect, and some of you know that he blogs a lot. It's my brother Alex. I'm not making a reference to him because he's fighting tooth and nail to fall in love with Jesus Christ. He's fighting tooth and nail, and he blogs a lot, and I read his. I don't read many other blogs, but I read his because I know where he's coming from. I'm not making reference to my brother. I am making reference to other people that can drink a six-pack on Friday and post about Jesus on Saturday, that bothers the mess out of me. But I got to get over it. I got to get over it. I encourage you, listen to him. Listen to him. Come to this prayer group. Spend those hours praying in the Spirit. I think y'all read the Bible now once a week or something like that, or on Thursdays. Come. What are the times? 7:30 to 8:30. And what he's been doing, y'all pray on what nights? 3 nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. What he's been doing, he's been buying everybody Chinese after the service. Everybody, it's on him. Come just for the food. Yeah. Hey, he's the owner and founder of Life Dictionary. But let's get together. I want to have you guys. I told Harry and Robert I was going to go take them to lunch one day. It's coming. It's coming. But I'm in the bell a lot. If there's a time more than ever that I desire your fellowship. I desire to be one with you. I know he's off me, and I'm trying to think now. I desire to, hallelujah. I desire to know you as a family member in God. I desire to know how you think. I desire to want to know your weakness and it not bother me. I want you to desire to know my weakness and it not bother you. We start knowing where we struggle at in each other's lives, and it doesn't faze us, my friends. You found compassion. You found it. A Pharisee, a Sadducee, a religious person always finds fault with somebody. You read the Gospels. Not only am I reading what Jesus did right, but I'm reading what his disciples did wrong. I would urge you, this isn't a commandment from God. I would urge you to think about reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm trying to read Matthew in one day. Mark sees it's only a few verses, chapters. John, it'll stretch you after working, after baseball games. I'm trying to read one book a day. I'm telling you, if you put yourself there, if you put yourself there when Jesus was at the mountain teaching, if you put yourself there at the bottom of that mountain hearing him, I'm telling you, through imagery, it will change you. Put yourself there when the woman was caught in adultery. Put yourself there witnessing what they were trying to do to this young lady. Put yourself there. Make it intimate. Make it personal. And I'm telling you, put yourself there. And this man named Jesus Christ will teach you in ways that you, in ways that you can't imagine. Amen. He is our perfect example. There's a peace I've come to know. He is our perfect example. Though my heart and flesh God. May fail. I don't know what I teach is real basic, but it's good, man. It's all on me and you. Okay, one more minute. Promise. Oh, you're all right. Let it play a little bit. Do you know we teach people by our actions? Now I got this little pet peeve. You don't have to raise your hand. I know you do too, but it's okay. I hate when somebody pulls out in front of me. Who does too? No, keep your hands down. Now I've gotten past the itchy middle finger. I've gotten past that, you know. It don't really itch. My heart does a little bit. But when my boys are with me, now this is minute, and I get a little competitive on the baseball field. I love watching my boys play. I wish Quentin would have played, but I love watching my boys play. I just love watching them play. I used to love watching Julie play lacrosse. Pretty good. She could run faster than a lot of kids in the school, but anyway, we'll leave that one alone. I used to love, I try not to miss any of them. You know what? Because the day I have them, and tomorrow they're gone. Quentin will be a senior. By the grace of God, he'll be off to college. Elijah's going to be a junior. 2 years, half my kids will be gone. Unless they hear the Lord and entertain the ministry. But when my kids are with me and I break in front of somebody and I make a comment, I just taught them to make a comment to somebody that pulls in front of you. I just taught them. My daughter, Julie, she played lacrosse, and I always make room for error in my life when I say I don't always walk in what I preach. I'm protecting myself, and I'm almost done. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to a couple analogies. And Judy was kicked out of a lacrosse game because my baby was going to fight somebody. And she had like 60 or 70 goals that year. She was like one of the best in Southwest Florida. And Pastor Homer, your Pastor Homer, ordained under Pastor Dave Roberson. Julie, don't you let that girl push her around. Push her back. What's wrong with you? Push her back. And I sat down and cringed. We were at the LaBelle game the other day, the Mighty LaBelle Cowboys. Mighty, eating swamp cabbage anyway. They had senior night. I'm telling you this to teach you. That's not what we say. That's what we do that teach people whether right or wrong. That's why I have no excuse with Jesus, because he never did nothing wrong. He did everything right. And LaBelle, there's always been a little something between LaBelle and Immokalee, always, you know, a little bit. One of the kids from LaBelle was senior night. And there's about 12 seniors on the LaBelle baseball team. And they were sharing what their highlights were before the game of their four-year career in LaBelle. And one kid, and LaBelle's got a pretty good baseball program, they really do. One kid hit a ton of home runs. One kid hit a couple of home runs in one game. And that's pretty hard to do, hit two home runs in one game. That's quite an accomplishment. One of them said, I'm happy because I ran over a catcher one time. My son's a catcher. My son also plays middle linebacker. So you know what Pastor Homer said? When you come home from third base, hit our catcher if you can. Run our catcher over at 200 pounds. My bad, Elijah. Run over our catcher, buddy. And guess what? That kid ran from third home. And Elijah caught the ball and was right there waiting for the kid to come. The kid saw Elijah, and he slid like a little girl. He didn't want to hit the catcher. But it's comical. But see, I taught my son how to play like that, which is wrong. You see what I'm saying? Though I don't teach my sons how to commit adultery. I don't teach them how to fornicate. I don't teach them how to drink. I've held one woman in my arms for my entirety of my marriage. But there's a lot of little things that I teach them by my actions that I need not teach them. And if that's the case, and I'm done in 30 seconds, if I teach them by my actions, then I have hope. Because I'm taught by the actions and the lifestyle of one man named Jesus Christ. And you know what? He never had a bad day. He was always compassionate. He was always merciful. He wasn't like me, competitive. But hey, I don't walk in everything that I preach. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. That kid still didn't want to hit my son. He knew better. Anyway. I love you, man, and there's a desire inside of me to fellowship with a brother more than I ever have. There really is. Let's get together with each other. Times of worship together. Times of partaking of the word together. And let's grow in God, and let's get rid of that competitive edge at baseball games and lacrosse games. It's all accessible to me and you. It's right here. And his name is Jesus. Amen.